Yes, we're watching the Tuesday markets after a volatile Monday. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. Good to be with you. After a key stock indicator, the S&P 500 index fell 1.6% yesterday. That was the biggest one-day drop in months. Prices have stabilized some this morning. The S&P future is up 0.5%. So is the NASDAQ future. The AEX index in Amsterdam is up 0.2% now. London's FTSE up 0.5%. Let's get an update now from my marketplace colleague in London, the BBC's Victoria Craig.
Though many countries are continuing to ease pandemic-related restrictions, COVID-19 case counts are still rising thanks to spread of the more contagious Delta variant. This week, worries about how that could affect global supply chains sent a fresh chill through financial markets. Simon French, chief economist at Panmure Gordon, explains why.
A lot of countries within the global supply chain are going to still be impacted because their populations simply aren't vaccinated at the type of rates that we've seen in the United States and Europe and the UK, where fully vaccinated populations now north of 50% of the total population. Compare that to the global population, just 13%.
But French said it's not just limited to pandemic problems. He reckons there's a bit of profit taking at play, too. Global stocks have soared more than 80% from their March 2020 lows, while the S&P 500 hit its own fresh record less than a week ago. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Very striking have been moves in the bond market over the last day, with a benchmark U.S. interest rate, the yield for the government's 10-year note, down at 1.17% this morning. A week ago, it was at 1.4%. Oil prices have tumbled, with the bet that the slow pace of vaccination will drag down economic activity. Crude is down another 0.2%, right now at $66.12 a barrel in New York. Some U.S. cities, New York, Boston, and Chicago, have free school meals for all, but California and Maine have become the first states to offer free meals to all public school students, regardless of their family's income. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab reports.
Normally, a family of four has to make less than $35,000 a year to qualify for free student meals. Kathy Saley directs No Kid Hungry California. She says that's too low.
Families that don't qualify still struggle to even pay that few cents if they're in reduced price or if they're just above that level.
Now, California will spend more than $50 million to establish the program and another $650 million to cover meals in the first year. Crystal Fitzsimons at the Food Research and Action Center says this will eliminate the stigma attached to free lunch.
We know that kids opt out of free and reduced price school meals as they get older and understand what's going on around them more.
And she says it will benefit all students. Research shows meals help kids concentrate.
It can be really disruptive to a classroom to even just have one hungry student.
California and Maine will begin their programs in the 2022-23 school year. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Who needs a public library with everything on a screen in your pocket? A lot of people. Libraries are evolving into a new kind of community institution. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been looking at the research, and he joins us from St. Paul. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Now, libraries 100, 150 years ago were the internet, the place that had the knowledge that used to be held by the gatekeepers. Andrew Carnegie, the great payer for public libraries, thought libraries were the best tool for the masses to lift themselves up. I mean, that's social change. What do you think now? Libraries still a force for social change?
You know, David, I really think they are instruments of social change a century later. You know, several years ago, I was in Columbia, South Carolina, and I'm talking to the head of the Public Library Workforce Development Initiative. And she said, you know, helping older workers figure out their encore careers, that was part of her mission. And later I went to the downtown library in Phoenix, and I was impressed by its College Depot. You know, this is a free, full-service college access center to help with everything from getting a GED to a college degree. And you can multiply these examples because there are over 15,000 library branches in the U.S., and local governments spend over $12 billion annually on their libraries. And it's safe to say this is an investment that's well worth it.
Well, do we know that? It's a decent return on investment?
Well, there's this recent study, and this is what grabbed my attention. Three economists, Montana State University, Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, and Miami University, and they calculate by some measures a healthy return on investment. So among their findings, library capital investment increases children's attendance at library events by 18%, children's checkout of items by 21%, and total library visits by 21%. But increases in library use translate into improved children's test scores in nearby school districts.
But then the pandemic comes by, and it's hard on libraries. People weren't allowed to go into some of them. Budgets were cut. And, you know, it's not that so many libraries were overly funded even before the pandemic arrived.
So a lot more needs to be done to maintain buildings, update bathrooms, increase the number of hours that they're open. And there's a wonderful book by sociologist Eric Kleinenberg, Palaces for the People. And, you know, in that book, he persuasively argues that libraries, the people who work there and the people who visit, that they're essential to our democracy and to our community. So support your local library.
And along with everything else, nice internet usually and air conditioning during this time of year. Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And I guess the following is like someone finally calling 15 months later to mention that your house burned down. The National Bureau of Economic Research now says the recession ended in April of 2020. Shortest recession ever, but they had to amend the definition of recession for this special pandemic case because recessions traditionally have to be longer to count. Our producers are Rose Conlin, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Daniel Shin, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. I am David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.